All right, if you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Since Pastor doesn't have class next week, my class is going to finish up this week. So I'm going to finish up the book of Judges. And then I think there doesn't seem like there's a lot of interest for Ruth right now. So I'm going to finish up. If you come to class, I'll have class, if that's okay with Pastor, at 6 o'clock next Tuesday. And then I'll just finish up. I only got a couple more chapters. I won't take the full 2 hours, so don't panic. But those of you who are in my class, I'll just finish up that night, and then you'll be done with my class, and then you'll just have Pastor's, and then that'll give him some breathing room. So, because I know he's trying to really do 2 classes at one time, so that gives him some breathing room, so he doesn't got to worry about me coming in behind him. So, just so you know, so next week there will be my class, but we're going to finish up my class, and we'll be done. So, Psalm chapter 20. Psalm 20. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for getting us through today, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I just thank you for how good you are, Lord. You've always just looked out for us. You've always just taken care of us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you can show up tonight, Lord, and help me get out of the way, Lord, so that you can be honored and glorified, and that the word can be used and given to your people. Lord, I can't feed everybody. You got to feed them. And Lord, I pray that you just use me tonight, Lord, and just wash me in the blood, forgive me for my sins, and Lord, help me be able to teach your word tonight in your precious, most holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Psalm 20. So we'll go ahead just real quick, read through it. It's a pretty short psalm. The Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 1, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." Now, this is a psalm of David. He's writing, obviously, to the Lord. Lord's dealing with him, or he's singing to the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. He had a lot of fellowship with the Lord. But these psalms, a lot of times, you can get a lot of Christian application out of them, but they are a lot of times doctrinally applied to a Jew, and the Jew's going to need the Lord in the tribulation. Now, he needed him, obviously, in the Old Testament. This is also applied to the tribulation, some parts of this. And but as all Scripture, you know, is all Scripture is good for correction or reproof for instruction in righteousness. And so it's good for a Christian to get through this. That's why it's a blessing. I'm glad I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist where I read through the Bible and I can only read certain books of Paul, and then that's all I can, you know, take from it. God's spoken to me through Exodus. God's spoken to me through Genesis. God's spoken to me through the Psalms. And so you can get a lot here that God isn't, and it isn't just us making things up and bringing things out that don't belong to us. Paul did that in the New Testament. He constantly brought Old Testament scriptures that were applied to the Jew, and he applied them to the Christian. So there's nothing new about that. So in Psalm chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says this, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Now the Lord hears his saints. The Lord hears his people. Now sometimes you think he does it, but he does hear. The Bible says, "Every idle word that men shall speak, that shall he give account of thereof in the day of judgment." I don't know if I quoted that exactly right, but you get my point. He hears everything. Now, when he says he doesn't hear, it doesn't mean he doesn't hear. It means he's not taking your prayer seriously. He knows what you're saying, but he's just not paying any attention to you. It's kind of like talking to, you know, when you get in a fight with somebody and you start talking to them and they're like, "I can't hear you, I can't hear you." They hear you just fine. They just want you to know they're not listening to you, right? But the Lord hears you, but he'll hear you in the day of trouble. And sometimes when you're in trouble, you try to talk to the Lord and he doesn't answer right away, but he hears you. And you got to remember, the Lord's not as panicky as we are. Okay, we're panicky. Okay, we need something done right now. And if it doesn't happen now, we're going to die. The Lord's like, "You're not going to die. You're going to be fine. Just hang in there." I mean, my kids, I don't know how many times they've come in and they've been hurt and it's just the end of the world and it's bad. And I'll say, "No, you're fine." You know, and that's why I'm a dad and Andrea's a mom. Andrea's always, "Oh, my baby." And she's over there, you know, just, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And that's just a mom for you, right? I'm a dad. I'm like, "He's fine. He's fine. He's fine. He's fine. You know, my kids are like, I'm like, hey, you know, when they're, especially when they're younger, you're like, hey, you okay? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'm bleeding, right? And then all of a sudden they see that blood and they get, you know, that's how Christians are. Christians, you know, they get panicky, they get scared, and the Lord's like, no, you're fine. You're going to be fine. Yeah, I know you're hurt. I know you're hurt, but you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. The Lord hears you in the day of trouble, but you got to talk to him, and he'll hear you. Turn to Psalm 4. Lord hears. Amen. You ever talk to somebody and you can tell they're just not listening? You can do that from the pulpit. You know that? I'll be up here. I'm like, I know nobody's listening. So, but no, that you can, you've talked to people and they're just kind of like, hey, Ben, how you doing? What's going on? They're not listening to you, you know? I do that sometimes too. Sometimes people will be talking to me and I apologize, but like, you know, when my kids were younger, they'd be doing something crazy and behind them, and I'd be like, you know, and they'd be like, man, Brother Josh isn't paying attention to me. No, I'm trying not to let, you know, something disastrous happen with my children. So that happens. But the Lord always hears you. He hears you. Now, does it mean he takes your prayer seriously all the time? Because sometimes, you know, your heart's not right. We'll get into it. Psalm 4. Psalm 4, look at verse 1. David says this, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. He's asking the Lord to hear his prayer. It's amazing how many things you don't ask the Lord for. Isn't it funny? You say, well, that's just common sense. But how many times have you been in trouble and didn't say anything to the Lord? I told you before, I think it was last Sunday, last Wednesday, I can't remember. All the days are becoming a blur to me now. Or it was at Pastor Evans' church, I can't remember. But I said, I was talking about how David had lost where he's getting ready to go to the mission field. He's got to send a check for the mission trip, and he got a check sent to him from the bank, and it was coming to him, and all of a sudden it just disappeared. No, in between the bank and here, we couldn't find it. And calling the bank, banks are like, oh, we don't know where it's at. You know, we don't put tracking numbers on envelopes, and you know, we're trying to figure out, call the post office, and the U.S. post office is always very helpful. Don't get me started. So we're panicking. We're for, you know, I don't know, a couple weeks we're looking for this thing. We're wondering where this thing's at. I keep calling the bank. Hey, what's going on? They're like, well, it can go up to, I don't know how long, lots of days before we have to cancel it. So you have to wait so many days and everything. And then finally one night I was just like, you know, guys, let's just pray. We went weeks without praying. Isn't that weird? You say, that's crazy. I'm sure you've done that before. And what we do, we just sat down before we went to bed that night and we prayed. So, Lord, I pray you'd find David's check. Help us find David's check. Help it show up. And then there was something else, too, that he was missing, too, that we couldn't find that was in the mail. We couldn't find that either. We're praying, and we went to bed that night. Now, does God answer prayer? Did he hear us? You know, when you're praying like that, you don't think he hears you, but he does. Next day, I'm at work, and all of a sudden, I get a text from David or a call. I can't remember. David's like, Dad, found whatever the other thing he was looking for. He says, found it. It was in his room. And then all of a sudden, I talked to Andrew, and like, yeah, we found his check. This is the next day. Where it was is it had come in the mail, and David wasn't home, so whoever got in the mail had put it in his room thinking he would see it, but it got hidden in there, and he never saw it. So it had been sitting there for weeks. But we never thought to look there until the next day. You think that's not the Lord? He answers. He hears your prayer. He hears it. Turn to Psalm 13. He hears you. He heard his people in the Old Testament. He heard the Jews. He heard them. You ever know what some of the scariest things in the Bible is? When they say something bad or blasphemous against the Lord or against God's men, and it says, the Bible says, and the Lord heard it. Ouch. I don't want to be there. You know, it's like when you're trying to get away with something and you're goofing around with your brothers and sisters and you say something, well, Mom and Dad will never know, and you don't know Dad's standing right behind you. I do that sometimes. It's a dad thing, I guess. I go up there, I'll hear the boys in the room, little ones or whoever, I'll hear them in the room chit-chatting about something. They're quiet up there, and it just makes me nervous. There's no loud noises going on. So I'll wander upstairs, and I'll stand outside the doorway and just kind of meander out there and just listen to what they're talking about. And I'll poke my head in, what are you guys talking about? And then they kind of look up at me, and their eyes are all big. And then they have to think about it, what they're saying. I'm like, oh, you got to think about it. That means you weren't talking about something good. So that's what happened with the Lord. The Lord hears it. Psalm 13. Verse 3, David says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Consider and hear me. Now, a lot of these psalms are being written, and David's in distress. A lot of these are written when he's being chased by Saul. I mean, how many times did he think he was going to die? But the Lord got him through it. Amen? The Lord answered his prayer. You know what the Christian life is like sometimes? Sometimes it's like, and this is weird, I just thought of this today. This is great, you're going to think this is so awesome. I was talking to Pastor Evans on Sunday, and he was talking about how he likes NASCAR. I don't care about NASCAR, I'm not a big NASCAR person. But I don't know, it popped in my head today, and I was thinking, you know, that's a lot like life. You know, when you're in life, and you know, you get those big wrecks on the track, and all the cars are piled up, and there's smoke, and then cars that are still driving, what they have to do is they have to either, they don't want to stop, so they got to kind of go through that smoke and hope they don't hit a car, right? As they go through it, they can't see what's behind the smoke. And they're hoping that they don't hit another car in there and that they come out through the other side unscathed, right? Well, that's what a Christian life is like. Sometimes there's wrecks all around you, and it looks like you're about to crash, and you're going in there, and all you see is smoke. You can't see in the smoke what's going on. And the Lord says, just trust me, go through the smoke. And you go through the smoke, and you're like, Lord, I can't see anything. I might hit something. The Lord's like, you just got to trust me. And he brings you out the other side. But man, it sure is scary going through that smoke, though, isn't it? He hears you. He hears you. You know what David went through all that stuff and running from Saul? All that stuff where he thought he was dead so many times. So many times Saul was this close to getting him. The Lord protected him. Then he became king. Turn to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. The Lord hears you. The Lord hears you. I'm going to try to encourage you. You know, the Lord hears you. When you pray, he hears you. I'm losing my focus here. Micah chapter 7. He hears you. And so when you pray, how many times have you prayed just in your head and the Lord answered that prayer? And you didn't even say it out loud, and he answered it. Micah 7, look at verse 7. Micah 7, 7. Micah says this, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. He hears you. Isn't that kind of, it's a good thing, isn't it, that he hears you? It's also kind of a bad thing, isn't it? Because you don't always say what you're supposed to say, right? You don't always think what you're supposed to think. He still hears you. You got to be careful about that. He hears you. Back in Psalm 20, verse 1, the Bible says, the Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. He hears you. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. So he hears you, and then he defends you. You know, I heard an analogy one time that the Lord will rebuke you to your face and defend you to your back. What I mean by that is, if he's got a problem with you, he will come and talk to you. But he won't talk about you behind your back. He'll defend you, even when you're not doing right. I wonder how many times you weren't doing right, and the accuser was accusing you, and the Lord stuck up for you. You know, I know a couple times I've been actually accusing the brethren. I remember one time down in Pensacola, I was mad at a brethren for doing something, and I was sitting there, and I was accusing him. I've told you about this, and I was sitting there in my car, and I was griping about him out loud, and all of a sudden, it was a beautiful sunny day. All of a sudden, this big bolt of lightning just shot, and I heard a clap of thunder. It was the weirdest thing that's ever happened. It just and it shook my car, and I was like, whoa. So I'm looking around. I'm like, where did that come from? And I'm looking up, and there's no clouds. And I couldn't figure out what was going on, and then it just kind of hit me. I kind of rolled back, and I thought, you know, I was kind of griping about that brother. And that brother was doing something bad. You know what the Lord told me? Shut your mouth. That's my son. You know, it's like Israel. They're enemies for the gospel's sake, but they're beloved for the Father's sake. You better be careful. He defends you. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. I'm glad he defends me, because you can't defend yourself. A lot of times when you're trying to defend yourself, you can't. You gotta let the Lord defend you. You got to let the Lord defend you. Remember when Miriam and Aaron were speaking against Moses' wife? And the Lord said, come on out, you two. And he says, come out. And he came down. And he says, how was it that you weren't afraid to speak about my prophet Moses? How's it that you weren't afraid to do that? Can you answer that for me? How are you not afraid? He defends you. 2 Kings chapter 19. See if that's where I wanted to go. I guess that's why I can't write it. I'm in 1 Kings. 2 Kings, 1 Kings. Chapter 19, look at verse 34. The Bible says this. It says, or the Lord says this. He says, for I will defend this city, the Lord's talking, to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. He defended it. You know, a lot of these places that he defends, they don't deserve to be defended. They don't deserve it. A lot of times he says he'll do it just for his name. And you represent him. So he takes it seriously when someone comes after you. He takes it personally. And let me tell you something. You pray for people, but sometimes you let the Lord deal with people. Amen? And you let the Lord deal with things, and you just keep your mouth shut. You got to be careful about things. Now, the Lord will tell you if it's time to open your mouth or not, but you need to, we're too quick to open our mouth and talk and go up and talk to people and say stuff to people, and instead we need to let the Lord do it. Amen. Let the Lord deal with them. You aren't going to change anybody. Amen. You're not going to change anything. All you're going to do is just get the situation more escalated. You need to be quiet. Let the Lord do it. You know what? A lot of these places, they didn't even deserve it. They didn't even deserve it. The Lord says, you know what? I'm going to defend you anyway. He defended Ahab one time. Remember that? He says, Ahab, remember when that came in and said, hey, I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna take all your stuff, I'm gonna take everything I want, I'm gonna see what I want, and I'm gonna take it. And Ahab tells him, he says, don't boast. Don't boast is one that takes his girdle off at the end of battle. I'm not quoting that exactly, but he tells him, don't boast about that. And this guy's trying to tell Ahab that he's gonna come in and take everything. Ahab was a wicked king of Israel. And the Lord says, don't worry about it, I'm gonna take care of it. You better be careful. You better be careful. But the Lord defends you. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Psalm 5. A lot of times you need defending and you can't defend yourself. That's why a lot of times people, you just be quiet and just let people say what they're going to say. Amen. I've had people say things about me and I found out about it. And know what I wanted to do? I wanted to get up and I wanted to say something. Hey, you don't know what really happened. You don't know that. You don't. The Lord's like, just shh. Quiet. Let it go. Just let it work itself out. Psalm 5, look at verse 11. David says, he says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, right? For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield? Now listen, it doesn't mean, you know, when you're not doing right, that God is okay with you doing wrong or doing wrong. He's not okay with it. He's going to deal with you about it. But, you know, he defends you anyway. Isn't that a blessing? My kids have done wrong. And I'll see them and I'll tell them, I'll correct them when they do wrong. But if any of you come and grab them by the ear and start yelling at them, we got a problem. Because that's my kid. You better not touch my kid. And I will deal with them. And listen, if they're having a problem, you come grab me and say, Brother Josh, you know, Jonathan just punched Sawyer in the nose and it didn't even, and he's, beating up on Sawyer. And I'll come back, I'll take care of it. But I don't want to see anyone else grabbing him and punching, I don't want to see, Brother Chad grabbing Jonathan and boom, 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 me and Brother Chad getting mad at each other. No, I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, I'm going to get something going in the church here. Sawyer's going to be like, you can't beat me up, Jonathan, So, yeah. So my point is just, listen, I'm going to defend my kids, okay? And sometimes they're wrong, and that's what the Lord does with Israel. He says, yeah, they're doing wrong right now. They're not living right, but don't you touch them. Don't you touch them. He defends you. He defends you. He says, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Verse 2, back in Psalm 20, sorry. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. He says, send thee help, okay, from the sanctuary. So what they're talking about in the Old Testament, the sanctuary, we're talking about the sanctuary of God, the temple. The sanctuary is a holy place, a temple or a church. The dictionary calls it a place of refuge or safety. But in this case, it's a place where God dwelt physically in the Old Testament, and that's where they went to meet with God at. And they say, send help from the sanctuary. That's why every time they were in trouble, they looked towards the temple and they pray towards it. And strengthen thee out of Zion. The Jews need help. And they're going to need help again in the tribulation, really badly. They're going to need help. And they're going to be going out to the wilderness. They're going to be going out. They're going to be fed with manna, just like they were in the Old Testament. They're going to go through all that stuff again, and they're going to be getting killed off. Antichrist is going to be chasing them. And they're going to need God to deliver them, and God will deliver them. But it's also got an application not only to the Old Testament Jew and to the tribulation Jew, but to you. Send thee help from the sanctuary. Now, that help is according to verse 4, okay? Now, some of you want help, right? But it says, verse 4, it says, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. That's according to the Lord's heart. You want help, right? But you want your help, your kind of help. You want the help you want. God says that's not the kind of help you need. Sometimes you say, well, I need help. And the help you think you need, you know, you say, Lord, if I just, Lord, if you could just give me $10,000, I could get this thing figured out. And the Lord's like, no, you don't need $10,000. You need to get a job. That's what he's saying. Sometimes you just need a kick in the rear sometimes. That's your help. Amen. I got helped a lot when I was a kid. Picked up and just boom, kicked in the rear. Yeah. It got me out of my slumber, let's just say, all right? And I figured I need to do something. But the Lord is good. He'll give you help from the sanctuary. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. He gives you help. And it comes from the sanctuary. Ezekiel chapter 37. But it's not always what you want. It's not always a help. You got to ask the Lord, and he's going to give you the help he wants to give you. And sometimes what he'll do, just like he did to Hezekiah, is he'll leave you for a while to see how you're going to, if you're going to still serve him, if you're still going to do right. That's what he'll do. Ezekiel chapter 37, where's the reference I had? Ezekiel chapter 37, look at verse 27. Talking about to the Jews. He says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. That's where the Lord dwelt. And that's why they're asking for help from the sanctuary. Now, praise the Lord, we don't have to go to a physical place to see God. We don't have to come to church to talk to God. You know, you don't have to come here and say, well, I got to go talk to God. I need to go over to the church. You don't have to do that. The Lord, if you're saved in here, you're born again, the Lord dwells inside you. So you are the temple of God. I know you know this, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 real quick. I know it's a verse you all know very well. But the Lord dwells inside you. So you can go anywhere you want to go. I told the guys at the jail the other day, I said, you know, you can talk to God anytime you want to. I said, you don't have to go and wait till Sunday when you come and talk to me to talk to God. Obviously they're not talking to me like they talk to God, but you don't have to wait till a special day to talk to God. You can talk to him anytime you want. They say, well, we don't have a lot of privacy in here. I said, I get that, but you don't have to talk out loud. Amen. You can pray in your head. The Lord still hears you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know this verse 9. Is that what I wanted? Verse 19. What, Paul says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God dwells inside you. Amen? So that means you take him wherever you go. And whatever you do, he's there. Sober thought, isn't it? He's with you. Help comes from him. And so when you go, you can talk to him anytime you want. You know how much, I have so much time in the car. I pray all the time in the car, all the time. I talk to the Lord all the time. I mean, that's one good thing about having long drives. You can sit there and talk to him. He answered me. I mean, I was coming home tonight, and I was driving home, and the Lord was just speaking to my heart about some things. I was like, wow. I mean, it's a blessing. I don't have to be in church. I don't have to see somebody. You guys don't have to come to see a preacher to talk to God. You can talk to him anytime you want. and go before the throne boldly, right? And so when you ask for help, you know, he says, send me help from the sanctuary. Well, you don't have to be in a certain place, amen? You can talk to him anytime you want. You can talk to him right now. You can talk to him, and he'll send you help. He'll strengthen thee out of Zion. So it says, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Verse 3, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. All right? So he says, what he's telling them, he says, remember the offerings that I've given and remember the burnt sacrifices, because that's what they had to do in the Old Testament to stay right with God. So basically in the Old Testament, it's why you're reading the Psalms, they say, you know, I talk about their own righteousness in the Old Testament, because they could claim their own righteousness in a way because they were doing the right thing. But now the Lord comes, and because he gave himself on that cross, our righteousness is through him. So our righteousness comes through him. So because of him, we are righteous. It has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with him. And so when you, the Lord also not only is our sacrifice and our righteousness, or for his righteousness, but we need to be right. We're righteous through him. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Our righteousness doesn't come from us. That's why it doesn't matter. It's amazing how people think the righteousness comes from them. But you are supposed to be, he says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. He was the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. But not only is he the sacrifice, and you realize he sacrificed. Without his sacrifice, we're all doomed. He sacrificed for you and for me. He's a sacrifice. And so what he expects in return is us to be a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, the Lord hears you. The Lord defends you. And he'll send you help. Now, you can't claim your own righteousness. But do you know, the more you separate from this world and this flesh, the closer you get to God, I believe the quicker he'll respond to things. If you make yourself a living sacrifice. Amen. Problem is, you don't want to put yourself on that altar. You still want to keep some of it back, right? That's what a lot of Christians want to do. He's telling them, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. You get to be offer yourself because Christ is in you, and Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. I remember I've preached a lot here lately, so I can't remember what I told you, what I haven't, but I remember Hebrews chapter 10. I remember talking to a Seventh-day Adventist in jail, and I remember talking to him, and he's telling me how you need to, you know, go to church on Saturdays and not go on Sundays, because Sunday's the mark of the beast. And I showed him in Colossians where it says, you know, have no respect for the holy day, and I went through all that stuff with him. And he's sitting there going, I don't know. And all the other guys that were standing around me, you know, we're all sitting here. They're like, well, that's what the Bible says. And he's like, yeah, I guess it is. Because you know what? People are still trying to put their own works in there. They're all trying. I remember Brother Ziegler used to say, Christians always want to take their filthy rag and wave it in the corner somewhere. And that's what Christians want to do. They want to have something to do with their own, with their salvation, with their righteousness. They want to have something to do with it, and it's not of you. All your righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, God appreciates you trying to do right and live right. But at the end, he's going to get the glory, not you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 12. The Bible says, but this man, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 10, 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He made one sacrifice for sins forever. So what do you do when you get in trouble? You plead the blood. Ask God to help you. Lord, I'm one of yours. I'm your son. I'm your child. Help me. Was it Brother Ryman I was listening to, where he would go around and he'd plead the blood of Christ. He was just standing in a restaurant. And he's sitting in a restaurant, I believe is what he said, if I remember this right. And there are two guys outside fighting out there on the sidewalk. And he got up from the table, and his wife's like, no, honey, don't go out there, don't go out there. And Brother Ryman, if you know Brother Ryman, he just sniffs that stuff out. So he goes out there, and he said that one guy was One guy went, he tried to break him up, and the other guy went running or something, and he got down on the guy that was laying down on the guy's face. He says, "Hey, how you doing?" That's a Brother Ryman. He just gets him. And this guy's over here like growling like an animal, and he can say, "Hey, how you doing?" And then the guy gets up and starts growling at him and like starts, you know, acting all crazy in front of him. And he started to come. I don't know if he grabbed something, was going to come at Brother Ryman, and Brother Ryman said, "I plead the blood of Jesus Christ," something like that. He said he didn't know what else to say, so he said that, and the guy just dropped his weapon and went and ran. I don't know. I mean, there's something about that. But you know what? You can go. The Lord made a sacrifice for you, and you got to go to Him. You can't go by your own works. But the Jews could. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Verse 4. We went over this a little bit already. Grant thee according to thine own heart. Back in Psalm 20. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. So you want your prayers heard? You want help? It's going to come from God, and God's going to do His counsel according to His heart. Turn to Matthew. I know I'm making you flip a lot, but turn to Matthew chapter 26. Some of you just got back here to Psalm 20. Matthew chapter 26. And this is what I call big boy, big girl Christianity right here. Matthew chapter 26. There's a brother I know. He's a preacher. And he started to lose his voice, and pretty soon he didn't know if he could talk anymore. He's not a really old gentleman at all, and he was all scared because he's afraid he wouldn't be able to preach anymore. And finally talked to him and heard from him, and he just basically said that he finally just gave it to the Lord and said, "Lord, if you don't want me to preach no more, I won't preach." Gave it to the Lord. And he ended up eventually getting his voice back. But you know what you got to do? You want help, right? But you got to submit it to the Lord. You know this, Matthew 26, verse 42, the Bible says, Jesus, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." Jesus wanted help from his Father. But he said, "Thy will be done." And the Lord said, the best thing is for you to go to that cross. And sometimes, Christian, the best thing for you to do is go to that cross. Sometimes the best thing for you to do is to suffer. And that's not easy to say. But there's a lot that can be accomplished by God through suffering. And at the end, you come forth as gold. But you got to give to Him. You want help? Now, God is merciful, and I'm not telling you He's going to make you go through a bunch of stuff. I'm just telling you, you got to give it to Him and let the help come from Him, and it's not going to come like you necessarily think it is. It's not going to go as fast, and it's not going to probably be the way you think it is, but He'll take care of you. Grant thee according to thine own heart, verse 4, and fulfill all thy counsel. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. He says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Now, the salvation he's talking about here, obviously, to the Jews, is he's not talking about us being saved, or being born again. He's talking about salvation, being delivered from something. The salvation where God delivered them from something bad that was going on. But they said, we'll rejoice in it. Just like in the Old Testament, when God did something, when they got through the Red Sea, they sang that song and they rejoiced in the Lord for the Lord delivering them. And you as a Christian, you need to rejoice in not only your salvation, but rejoice in the fact that God is using you and doing something with you. You know what the problem with Christians is today? I know we're living in a crazy time, but man, Christians are just not rejoicing in anything anymore. Christians are walking around with their chins dragging on the ground all the time, walking in, acting like the world's going to end. And you know, there's some things you can rejoice about in this world. You can rejoice about that God's been good to you. A lot of you in here, you're doing a lot better than a lot of other people are. I see people coming in the VA, and I see the things they're going through. I see the guys sitting outside the VA that are struggling. I see people walking around. I go to the stores, and I go to the places. I see people that are struggling. God's been good to you. And you know, you need to rejoice, not just in the physical blessings, but in the spiritual blessings and the fact that God is interested in you because you have His Son inside Him. So know what God is interested in? He is interested in His Son. That's why you see the things in the Bible that you see. That's why you see the genealogies. That's why you see all that stuff, because it's all connected to His Son. And you, if you're saved in here, have His Son inside you. So therefore, God is interested in you. And you have His special attention. And rejoice in that. Praise the Lord. Are you guys saved tonight? I don't know. Maybe you guys are. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I'll say, you know, hey, two people got saved today at the jail. Oh, amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Hey, I saw somebody down at the gas station. She gave him a tract, got to witness to him, led him to Christ. Amen. Amen. He got saved. I don't know if he really got saved. Spoken by someone who's never led anybody to Christ in a long time. I don't know if they really got saved. I mean, kids get saved in the back. Hey, so-and-so got saved. Huh, that's nice. Rejoice. Amen. That's a blessing. Rejoice in some things. Rejoice with others. Rejoice in thy salvation. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Rejoice. You know what, folks? All this is going to have an end. What we're at right now, this is all going to have an end. It ends one day. One day, there will be no more, there will be no more presidential elections. Amen. There will be no more CNN, okay? There will be no more stock market. There will be no more taxes. There will be no more pain. There will be no more hurting or a depression. There will be, no, that will be gone. Everything that is wrong now will be made right. And it's coming quicker than you realize. And I can see the doubt in your eyes when I talk about it, but it's coming quicker than you realize. In Philippians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." He said, rejoice. I believe Philippians was a prison epistle, was it not? He was in prison. He's in prison, and he's rejoicing. Where are you at? Do you guys walk out of here tonight? I'll tell you, what would be good for you guys is to come, when I get back in the jail, is come in the jail with me or Brother Al one time. You should come in with us. If we can get you in there, you should come back in there and you should walk in with us. And you walk in there, and I'll tell you, you walk through about four or five big steel doors. They got to buzz you through all these doors. And then you can hear those doors shutting behind you. And I know in my back of my mind, I'm like, I hope they let me back out of here. And you go all the way to the back, and you go in this room, and they bring everybody in, and you preach to them, and you get done, and it's a blessing. And you see these guys, and a lot of them, I know they dug their own holes. I know they did. But it's a blessing to see them get right. It's a blessing. I had two guys get saved Sunday at jail. And they got saved, and man, they're just excited. I had a guy 2 weeks ago that got saved. He came in by himself into the pod, it's just him. And I preached. I'd never seen him before. I started preaching to him, got talking to him. And then ended up leading him to the Lord there over the internet, leading him over to the Lord. He gets saved. He sits there. He starts bawling right there, starts crying. I mean, he's this big, huge dude. He just starts crying. He puts his head in his hands and starts crying. And this is what he did. He went like this, and he pulls his hands away. He goes, "I'm forgiven." He's been, the last 2 weeks, he's been back both times, you know. But you should come in because you see that what's going on with these men and these ladies, because the ladies that are in there too, and you get to deal with them, and then when you see the things they're going through, and you see the environment they're in, just in that jail, and you see the guards walking around, and you see how it is in there, and then when you get done and you walk through, and they buzz you through the doors, when you start buzzing through those doors, and then you finally get through all those steel doors, and then you walk out, and you walk out the front door, and you walk outside, and you hear the birds singing. Praise the Lord, I'm not in there. Amen. Sometimes the old saying is, you don't know what you have till it's gone. And you have a lot. And I understand we all have issues. We all have problems. We all have things going on. But rejoice in the Lord. Why does anyone want to get saved? You don't like it. I mean, you're not happy. You know, rejoice in the Lord. Some of you drag your chins everywhere. Listen, I'm not saying it's always yay, yay, all the time. But man, you can rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says, verse 5 back in Psalm 20, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Turn to, I know I do this, I get back here. The reason is I'm coming back to Psalm 20, and then I finish my point, and then I'm going to my verse, so I apologize. Before you go to Psalm 20, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Man, one day, you know what the Bible says in the book of Psalms? I believe it's the book of Psalms. It talks about the Jews when they were They were coming back to the land. He says it was like they were in a dream. You know what's going to happen when the rapture happens and you guys go to heaven? You're going to be like one that dreams. You're going to be like, I cannot believe this is real. You're going to come there and you're going to realize all the things. It's going to be like, wow, this is really happening. And all the burdens and everything you have is going to be gone. And everything's going to be made right. And you're going to finally get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get to see some loved ones up there and some friends and some family. And you're going to be up there and you're going to hit you one day that... Because you know what happens in this life? This life, you know that every time there's something good going on, it's going to end. You're looking around the corner, aren't you? It's like a Friday. Fridays are great, but you know Monday's coming, right? It's like this, flash. 2 days don't go by that fast at work, but it's like Friday, Monday, right? But man, this time you'll be up in heaven and you'll be like, wow, I'm here for eternity. This will never stop. I don't have to worry about someone coming and bursting my bubble right now. I don't have to worry about something bad happening at the best time of my life. I'm in heaven. And it's going to be right. And the leader and the ruler is going to be Jesus Christ. No matter how bad you have it now, it's going to work out. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. I'll start in verse 6. Peter says this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Imagine what it's going to be like when you see him. And he walks up to you and he talks to you audibly. And he knows your name. He says, Luke. Well, that's going to be a blessing. Amen. I've been watching you, Luke. That's going to be a blessing. If you love him, you should have some joy. You know, they heard a story of a man that, I can't remember his name, pastor might remember him. He's a Baptist preacher. And he found out his wife had just passed. And they came in to tell him the news. And he was jumping around the room. They thought he'd lost his mind. But he's like, man, praise the Lord, she's up with the angels in heaven. Glory, glory, glory. Just imagining that. I was thinking about Brother Bob today. I was thinking, oh man, what a blessing. He's up there with the Lord now. Amen. Man, he's doing just fine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Rejoice in thy salvation. Back to Psalm 20. I'll let you come back here for a minute. Psalm 20, verse 5. Just got a couple more minutes and we'll pray. But Psalm 20, verse 5, the Bible says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Set up your banners. It's like a flag or something representing something, something you believe in. When Israel came in, people knew who they represented. When you walk into work, do they know who you represent? I mean, that's why you wear shirts, right? With, like, you know, Detroit Lions, even though not many people wear them. But if you have one, has the Detroit Lions thing on it, you know, you're representing them, right? I give David a hard time because he wears this Michigan State sweatshirt around the house. And just, I hate it. I know Brother Jerry, he understands my pain because he's a Michigan State fan. He would hate somebody wearing, Miss Connie was wearing a Michigan shirt. He probably would be upset. But David doesn't care, but he just wears it because he knows it just aggravates us. He walks around, he's like, oh, he wears Michigan State. He'd wear an Ohio State shirt if he could. I know he would. But you know what's your point? My point is that you represent something. You know, it's good. I have a shirt that I got from, what am I thinking of? I got a shirt from a brother who gave me it has a Lord Jesus Christ on it. He's hanging on the cross, just like that track, the Fellowship Track League. And it says, all this I have done for thee, right? Then on the back, it's got verses. I'll tell you what, you want to get some looks. Wear that T-shirt when you walk into a gas station or something. It makes people think. They look at that thing and they look away right away. What's the problem, right? That's your banner. That's who you represent. When you go out into the world, that's who you represent. You represent him. Set up your banners. Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. I got about halfway through it. I guess, folks, if I'm going to tell you this, is that some of you in here, you might be listening and wanting the Lord to hear you. And I'm telling you right now, he hears you. He hears you. Unless you regard it, the Bible says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, he will not hear you. It doesn't mean he doesn't hear it. It means he's not taking you seriously because you got something in here that's wrong that's got to be taken care of. But he hears you. He hears me right now. That's what's scary. He's listening to me right now. And I got to give account for what I preach tonight. And he hears you too. And when you talk to him, whether it's audibly, in your heart, in your mind, he hears you. And he'll deliver you from trouble and he'll defend you. But you got to give it up to him and let him do as he sees fit. I guess that's all we got time for. All right. We'll go ahead and start taking some prayer requests here if I can find a piece of paper.